All right, getting ready for Christmas. You know, there's a story about a teenage daughter that asked her mother one day. She said, "You know, Mom, why do you always cut the ends off of the roast before you put it in the oven to roast it?" And she said, "Well, you know, that's a good question, because Grandma's going to be over this afternoon. Why don't you ask her? I just do it because Grandma did it all the time." So granddaughter asked Grandma, "Why do you cut the ends off the roast every time before you roast it?" She said, "Well, I don't know why your mother does it, but I used to do it every time because oftentimes the roast was too big and it wouldn't fit in the pan." You know, we need to kind of every now and then just stop and reevaluate and reexamine and ask ourselves again, why are we doing what we're doing? And so Christmas sneaks up on us once every 7 or so years and falls on Sunday, messes up all our plans, right? It's like, oh my goodness, Christmas is on Sunday. What are we going to do? There's a lot of churches that they're not having service this morning, okay? They had maybe 2 or 3 last night, and they just skipped Christmas morning. And so it just throws the church into a tizzy. It throws all the Christians into a tizzy. And it's like, we have to adjust all our traditions to fit around Christmas now on Sunday morning, you know? And you have to reexamine, what are we doing? Why are we doing what we're doing? Is this really important? What should we do, and how can we do this better? And perhaps it's a good thing. It causes us to reexamine what we're doing and what Christmas is really all about. So maybe this havoc it creates in our plans really is a good thing. This morning's message is entitled, Got Christmas. And of course, that kind of reminds us of that popular slogan, the milk commercial, Got Milk, right? It started airing in October of 1993, and it's actually been credited as one of the most popular advertising campaigns, and it boosted the sales of milk, particularly in California. And so everybody got into the bandwagon over the years. It was interesting as I started researching this. I mean, we got superheroes that got into it, like Superman and Batman. We got superstars, even Christian superstars that got in on it. Supermodels got in on the Got Milk commercial. Even magicians like David Copperfield, tennis players, ice skaters, Dr. Phil, of all people, and Larry King, live with a mustache. You can even get milk at Starbucks if you want. And let's not forget, kids like chocolate milk, right? But Dad, he's got his own way of getting milk. I mean, and who can even think after these advertising campaigns of even having milk without cookies? I mean, you're not going to have cookies and no milk, and I mean, they just go together, don't they? But as we come to this special morning, I think we need to ask ourselves the question, do we have Christmas? Do we got Christmas? I mean, do we really understand the true meaning of Christmas? What is it really all about? Because it's all wrapped up in our society with commercialism and me-ism. And I started thinking, you know, what do I want to share about on Christmas Sunday morning? And I thought, let's get right back to what is Christmas really all about? Why did Jesus come? Why did God send his son Jesus into this world wrapped in human flesh? And we call him Emmanuel, God with us. So I think we're going to answer that question this morning from a very familiar text. In fact, it's the same passage that Adrian read to that man out at Skid Row last night. And so if you turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this wonderful Christmas morning. And Lord, we want to ask, Father, that you would illuminate and open our hearts and minds, Lord, to understand more about Christmas this morning. Lord, more about what is the whole meaning and purpose of Christmas. What a tragedy it would be, Lord, to go through this wonderful season and not really understand it fully. So, Lord, help us to understand more fully your love for us as human beings, those people that you have created, that you care so much about. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. This is a wonderful story. It's about a religious leader named Nicodemus who visits Jesus at night one day. And so in John chapter, at night one night, not day. At John chapter 3, it says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, are you a teacher of Israel, and you do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. So I want to explore this morning four reasons why God sent his Son into the world that very first Christmas. What motivated God to send Jesus into the world? And the first one is, God sent his Son into the world to fulfill prophecy. I think it's important that we understand that. In verse 2, we see that when he came to Jesus, this was actually on Nicodemus's mind. It's like, who are you? Who are you? And in verse 2, he says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. But who really are you? Are you that one to come that's been promised? He wanted to know who Jesus was. He didn't really understand. How could Jesus do such profound things and say such amazing things, and yet was he that one promised? Now, what are you going to do today? What are you going to do this afternoon? Yeah, we've all got plans, don't we? You've got plans today. I've got plans today. But one thing for sure, we're all going to have surprises. I mean, there's going to be surprises that come and just invade our day, right? Next week, next month, next year. Life is full of surprises. Even when we plan things out the very best we can, we have everything orchestrated according to schedule, something's going to come up, mess it up, surprise. Well, you know what? God predicted hundreds of prophecies concerning his Son. In fact, over 300 prophecies in the Bible concern Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. That he'd be born of a virgin, that he'd be born in the city of Bethlehem, and he'd come from the lineage of David, but yet he was going to be raised in or called a Nazarene from the town of Nazareth. This is just four prophecies. There's over 300 like that. A man named Peter Stoner actually took, he's a mathematical brilliant guy, and he actually took and he decided to look at the laws of probability, and he wrote a book called Science Speaks. And he looked at the laws of probability of what would it be the probability of one person in human history just fulfilling eight of the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ. And mathematically, he determined that the laws of probability are 10 to the 17th power. That's 10 with 17 zeros behind it. That's a whole lot of zeros, isn't it? Now, imagine, if you will, the state of Texas filled 2 feet high. The entire state of Texas filled 2 feet high with silver dollars. That's 10 to the 17th power silver dollars. Imagine if we took one silver dollar and put a red cross on it and threw it somewhere in the middle of the state, anywhere. It could be buried, it could be on top, wherever it is. And you let a guy get on some sort of a Hummer so he could drive through the state all over these silver dollars. He can go wherever he wants, blindfold him maybe, make it a little more challenging for him. Blindfold him. He can just drive wherever he wants. He can drive till he runs out of gas. He gets out, he opens the door, gets out, he digs around, and he picks out one silver dollar. His chances of doing that are 1 to 10 to the 17th power. That's just 8 prophecies. Now, what is this so significant about Christmas? The reason why is we need to understand is Christmas was always God's plan A. You see, sin didn't surprise God. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, he already knew, he had already planned a Savior to come to save mankind from their sins. And so Christmas, God sending his Son into the world, really, really had to do with fulfilling prophecy. It was all part of God's wonderful plan for you and for me. The second reason is God sent his Son because we all needed a Savior, every one of us. There's a story about a department store Santa that was just continually being barraged with all these kids sitting on his lap day after day, and all of them telling them all the toys that they wanted for Christmas. And so he was surprised, because these kids today, I mean, maybe yesterday, you know, 50 years ago, they would ask for one toy. Today, 5, 10, 15, 20 different toys that they want Santa to bring on Christmas morning. And so he asked the kids, have you been naughty? Have you been nice? And of course they all said, well, I've been nice, Santa. Not one little boy. One little boy decided to be honest. He said, I've been naughty. In fact, I don't want to be nice. He was honest. He was honest. But a lot of us, we're not really that honest. In fact, I'll ask people, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine, Pastor. Yeah. Well, actually, yeah, it even gets sadder than that. There's a gentleman I've been visiting this week in the hospital with cancer, and he's under 100 pounds. He's dying. And I read some of these same scriptures that I'm reading to you today to him and ask him, how are you doing spiritually? Are you ready to meet God? He thinks he is. He's going to travel the universe. He's going to travel this universe that was created by a creator that he doesn't know and doesn't even know how to believe in and refuses his love. Yeah, there's a lot of people that really aren't honest. They aren't honest about their condition before God. And so we kind of make up these responses. Often our responses aren't really true, because none of us, truth be known, are doing as well as we really think we are, especially when we stand before God. Not one of us do that well, because every one of us have a problem. It's called sin. Yeah, the Bible says that all of us have sinned. We've fallen short of the glory of God. But God commanded his love. He showed his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, sin didn't surprise God. Probably what surprises him is that I've sent my Son to die and pay the penalty for sin, and yet so many refuse it. They resist God's love. That would surprise him. But that we fell short of his glory? No, that didn't surprise him at all. Now, Nicodemus, we've got to understand, he's a Pharisee. The Pharisees live by the law of God. I mean, they follow God's law better than you and I could ever even hope to. And yet, Jesus directs Nicodemus to where a true change needs to take place. Because outwardly, he did everything perfect according to the law. Even the Apostle Paul, he was a Pharisee too. He said he was perfect according to the law, except for he came to one problem. The sin of covetousness, the 10th commandment. You know, there's 10 of them, the big ones. The 10th one, thou shalt not covet. It's not so bad. No, I didn't do it, but I wanted to. Oh, and he realized his own life was unraveled because he had sin in the very core of him. Let's read those verses again in John chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? You see, what Nicodemus was about to find out was only God can make this change, and it's a spiritual change. It starts from the inside and works its way outward. It's not something we can do. It's not about us. It's about his work in us. So let me ask you, really, when you think about Christmas, isn't a miracle birth really at the heart of what Christmas is all about? I mean, Christmas is about a miracle birth, that not only that Jesus was conceived within the womb of a virgin, but that God would send his son even into the world to be born for you or for me. That's a miracle. Christmas is about a miracle birth. And you know what? A salvation, every one of us, we've come to a place where God needs to do a miracle birth in our hearts, in our lives. That's what it's all about. That's the meaning of Christmas. If we miss that, we miss everything. Christmas is all about a miracle birth. And Nicodemus thought he was good enough. And a lot of people do. But Christmas, Christmas, Christmas runs right into our face with the stark truth that none of us were good enough. And that's what Christmas is all about. That's why God sent his son, so that we could have a miracle birth, because entrance to heaven, it requires a spiritual birth. Now, doesn't that make sense? Entrance to earth, if you want to enter this earth, you've got to have a physical birth through your mother's womb. That's what Jesus was saying. You want to enter heaven? You've got to have a spiritual birth to enter heaven. You can't get there without a spiritual birth. And that birth comes by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and through the sacrifice of Christ. The third reason why God sent his son is that all of us needed to be shown the way to God, back to God. We all needed to be shown. How do we get back to God? We're wandering around. And Christmas tells us that God knew exactly that we needed an example of his love. He said, they need to know how to find their way back to me. How are they going to find their way back? I'm going to send my son an example to show them just how much I love them. And he will lead them in that way of life. Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection, all shows us that it's part of God's plan. And he wants to share the good news with each one of us. And then he wants what? Us to go out and share the good news with others. That's why Jesus said this in verse 10 to Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said to him, are you a teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witnesses. If I have told you earthly things and you did not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? So God expects us to understand these things. He expects us to know Jesus and to understand these things. And he also expects us to what? Go and tell others about this love, about his plan, about his salvation. You see, Nicodemus was confused about God, wasn't he? He thought he understood God's requirements and God's plans. He thought he had it figured out. But he was confused. He didn't get this. Jesus. And Jesus came saying things that were just outstanding and outrageous to him. Jesus was doing things that were just miraculous and unexplainable. And he needed to be shown by Jesus what salvation was really all about. He needed to understand from Jesus how to get to God. Well, you know what? There's a whole lot of people in this world that need the same thing that Nicodemus needs. He needed to be shown. He needed to be shared with. He needed to be told. There's so many others that need to be shown and told also. They need someone. The Bible says, how will they hear without a preacher? How will they go unless they're sent? And how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. Amen? And the fourth reason God sent his son was because the lost needed to be saved. The lost needed to be saved. And what a rejoicing it is when it's saved. Now, the Royal Society for Prevention of Accidents every year does these holiday season warnings to warn us of how dangerous this season is. Why? Because each year, 80,000 accidents happen around the holiday season. 80,000. You ask, what could possibly go wrong? What could possibly turn delight into disaster, celebration into catastrophe? Well, common accidents. Stabbing and cutting with scissors. I won't ask for a show of hands. Bruises and breaks from falling off bikes and other toys. Decorating accidents. Christmas lights, trees, trips, falls, Christmas candles, and the list goes on and on and on. I'm beginning to think we need to be saved from Christmas. But really, Christmas is about being saved. Being saved from what? Our sins. From something, yes. Because the Bible tells us that we were all lost. We were all apart from God in sin. That's why John 3:16 and 17 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might have life through him. Life through him, that it might be saved through Jesus Christ. So the Bible tells us something. It tells us we were all perishing, and that God offers to each one of us the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. So Christmas is really about God loves us. God loves us. He loves us so much. So why did God send his son at Christmas time? What's Christmas all about? To fulfill prophecy, number one. He promised a savior. He promised to send a savior to the world. Secondly, because we each needed to know that we needed to be saved from our sins, that we've all been naughty. We haven't always been nice, right? Someone said, "I deserve coal in my stocking every year." We needed to know that someone showed us the way back to God, that they would show us the way back to God. And fourth, we're all lost. We're all lost. And you know what? There's only one way home. And the one way is through Jesus Christ. Amen. That sacrifice of Jesus, the Savior that God sent, the Savior Jesus Christ. So our Christmas story leaves us with these two verses. And it really leaves us with a question. Do we really believe what verse 16 and 17 of the Gospel of John says? Let me read it again to you. And I want you to think about this. Do you really believe this? For God so loved the world, everyone, that he gave freely. We didn't have to buy him. We didn't have to do anything for him. He gave his only begotten Son. The most precious commodity of heaven, the most precious jewel that eternity ever held, he said, "I'm going to send that whosoever would believe in him." What does it mean to believe in God? To believe that he exists? Well, that's a little bit. That's a first step. But to believe means to rely on, to believe in, to trust in, to cling to adhere to him. Whosoever believes in him should not perish. Oh, what does that mean? Perish. That means If we don't believe in him, we are going to have to be judged for our own sin, that we will go to eternal death. We will perish. Hell. He sent us Son so that we should not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. Everlasting life. What a deal God offers us. What? Who? Why? How would anybody refuse a deal like this? For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world. God didn't send his Son to condemn the world. God loved the world, but that the world might have life through him. Why? Because he knew life was only there in the Son. Do you believe these words? Your eternal destiny, my eternal destiny, literally depends upon what we believe about those two verses. And if we do believe those words, we need to confess that. We need to tell God that we believe this. Tell God that we admit that we are sinners according to what he says. And we admit that we need Jesus to save us from our sins. Every one of us. Every one of us. And ask him to come in, to give us a spiritual birth, a new birth. So, the title of the message, Got Christmas. But really, the message ought to be, have we got Christ? Yeah, a lot of us have Christmas, but do we have Christ? Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, I don't want to see anyone here have a Christless Christmas. Lord, we all want to put Christ in Christmas. And Lord, if we don't have Christ living in our heart, all we're doing is going through the motions of life. It's vain, it's empty. Your word says, what is our life? It is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Oh Lord, right now we want to determine to believe your word and to confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Lord, we believe that you love the world so much that you gave Jesus Christ to die for our sins. You gave Jesus Christ, your Son, to die for my sin upon the cross. Lord, I believe that. And Lord, I believe that if I trust in that sacrifice of Christ on the cross, that you will allow me to be free from sin and the judgment of sin so that I might enter eternal life to live forever with you. Lord, I recognize that if I were to refuse this gift of love, that I would be so deserving of the punishment that I so richly, richly should be rewarded with. Lord, I thank you that Jesus took the punishment for my sins. And Lord, I thank you that you would forgive me of my sins, cleanse me from all unrighteousness. That Lord, I could be like the little child that says, I've been naughty. Lord, I want to be nice. Lord, only you can make me truly nice. Lord, I receive Jesus as my Savior, my Lord, this Christmas day. In his name I pray.